If you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your own estimate of it. And this you have the power to change. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is your thought for today here from Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healy in Campo, California. Our thought is, if you are distressed by anything outside yourself, anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it. And this estimate, you have the power to change. So says our famous philosopher, poet, emperor of Rome, Marcus Aurelius. First man to require education for all young people up to the age of whatever it was. And they all had to go to school. And he was making sure they had a good education. And if this is the type of thing they taught, that's pretty good. If you're distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your thinking about it. Now think about that. Did you ever see an accident? And when you looked at the accident, you go, oh, you cringe. And you're, so to speak, going through the pain of the accident. Did you ever see someone who is just about to make a stupid remark? Someone who's going to make a statement that is not very harmonious for them. And you cringe. Ooh! I mean, you're going through the pain. And that's really not important. You have the power to change that. You see, most people think that an external thing needs an external change, right? We saw a movie about the Bushmen in Africa. And one of the major characters in the play was a man who was working in the bush as a scientist. And it showed him as a fumble bumble dumb, you know. He had a doctor's degree and everything else, but he was a fumble bumble. And at one point in the show, it showed him sitting on top of his vehicle, which the brakes didn't work, and which the gear shift didn't properly function, and a number of other things, which is very silly for him to be running around the country with that. He had a mechanic right with him who could have taken care of it. But anyhow, that was part of the show. So here he is with the vehicle going backward, and he's holding on to the steering wheel, standing on the hood of the vehicle, looking backward as it's going backward, and screaming, out of the way, shouting. Now, as we looked, our tendency was to be thinking it's very humorous. Ho, 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 because we knew nothing was going to happen because it would sort of mess up the show. That was just a little extra laugh-in on the side. The main part of the show was that they captured these bandits who were trying to take over the country and somehow got out there and did their whatever. And very fascinating, very fascinating. But you look at that guy, and all we had to do, any one of us, even though it's a movie, all we had to do is say, hey, all is in divine order. You're the master of that vehicle. You're the master of this here. Just sit right down and turn off the key. Sit right down and do whatever needs to be done. You know, stop it. And shortly thereafter, he did that. He did that before he ran into anybody or hurt anybody. But why didn't we think of it earlier? Because we thought it was humorous. We thought it was funny, tragically funny, but we thought it was funny. Now, you see, we are our own worst enemies when it comes to the creation of our world. We have a very sad sense of humor. And our sense of humor keeps us sometimes from having a good activity that's going on in our life, and we want to have only good things go on. Now, many people like to look at slapstick movies, and they think that the slapstick movies are just wonderful. They're just hilarious. Norman Cousins dying of cancer, watched slapstick movies and changed his whole attitude about himself from one of tragedy and death to one of laughter and health. Now, that's not bad, you know. That's not bad. However, if you stupid people were to spend night and day and night and day for weeks on end watching slapstick movies, we would think you were just out of your gourd. We would think that you lost your marbles someplace along the way. Now, when there's motivation for it, as Norman Cousin has for it, you thought, what a genius. What a master. Surely he didn't really like all that slapstick stuff, because he's quite an intellectual, but he didn't really like it all, yet he got the good out of it. Are you and I willing to do what is necessary to do to be in charge of our life, to have the power to change any particular thing that comes along? And the answer, unfortunately, is no. You don't have that power. You give it away. You say, they did it to me. They did this. They did that. They're terrible. They're mean. They're hateful. Aren't they wonderful? Aren't they great? I wish I could be like them, you know. And you see, whenever you have that, you just give away your power to be yourself and be your master. And it's easy to do. It's easy to do. Parents teach their children this from the beginning. Your little brother was naughty, so you're all going to stay home. Oh, man, do we hate our little brother. You know, and it's not him. It's us. If we had watched our little brother and tended to his need instead of letting him get himself in trouble, we wouldn't have that problem. But we just laugh. Ha, 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 you wait till mommy catches you. You wait till mommy. Well, why wait till mommy catches you? Help the little stinker, you know. Help him to understand that what he does reflects upon the whole family. And it doesn't have to reflect upon the whole family. Because you can say, well, we're going to the show this afternoon, and when mommy finds out what you did, you're not going. Now, that's okay. That's the cause put in motion. Now, you say it's not very nice, but that's the cause. And so when mommy finds out, he doesn't go to the show, and the rest do go. Because that was what they had in their consciousness. Their consciousness that they were going to go to the show. And their little brother could have gone too if he had behaved. But he just was having a little tantrum that he wasn't being appreciated. He wasn't being understood. People weren't being nice to him. They weren't serving him the way he wanted to be served. And he was very irritated by it. And so he was just going to put on a tantrum. And of course, when he did, he cut himself off from going to the show. And you know what happened when he stayed home? He played with his toys and forgot all about the show. The show was not that important to him. It was important for the older children, but not for him, because everything in his life was a show. And he kind of liked being alone with mommy, not having his brothers and sisters around, no competition for a while. And that was kind of nice. This is what many children run into in their family when another child is born, like Ellen yesterday, when she was born. She messed up a wonderful situation that was going on in her house. Her four-year-old sister had the run of the show, and she was queen of the roost. And then Ellen comes along and makes her share it. And not only makes her share it, but the queen of the roost was not the important one, because Ellen needed the attention, and the queen of the roost could take care of herself. Ellen had to have her diapers changed. Ellen had to be fed. Ellen had to be cuddled. Ellen had to be burped. Ellen had to be all that stuff, you know. And her little sister didn't remember any of that from her life, but she knew that she had mom and dad to do with what she wanted to. And now this little stinker comes along and messes up the whole show. And little children, they go through that sometimes, unless they've been trained to say, hey, we've got a new little sister coming, and that new little sister is going to really be wonderful. Because she'll, as you get older, you'll do things together. And when she's younger, you'll learn how to change your diapers. You'll learn how to do all these things. So when you become a mommy, you'll be able to do this. Well, the older sister never did become a mommy. But that was her business. That was her life. It didn't really matter. You see, if you're distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it. And this you have the power to change. You have the power to change that estimate. Now, if you are raised in a nice family, where the family always are thinking of harmony and peace and love and joy among the family, then you'll be taught these things. If you're raised in a family that has been raised in a family, your mommy and daddy come from a hell house, you know, everybody's shouting at everybody else, everybody's angry at everybody else, and everybody's, you know, pulling each other's hair and stuff. And so then you have your own family, and you expect the same thing in your own family. You may say, never, 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 but you do the same thing to perpetrate it, and you bring it about. But you see, we have the choice. We have the opportunity to put into motion for ourselves the most peaceful, wonderful, abundant, joyous, healthy life you could ever want. I like the statement and its meaning, but not necessarily the statement and its fact. But the mother says, I don't have time to be sick. I have too much work to do. Now, the too much work to do isn't necessary, but I don't have time to be sick. Sickness is not in my life. It's not in my lifestyle. And if we could say that, wow. Hey, I don't have time to be poor. I don't have time to be poor. I don't have time to have too much work for me to do. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for that. I do all the things that I want to do, and I'm happy about it. You know?
Yeah.
Not bad. Mm-hmm. Remember the little old lady on the rocking chair on the porch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What'd she say?
Nothing ain't the matter, ain't nothing the matter.
Yeah, ain't nothing the matter, nothing ain't the matter. It usually started out, ain't nothing the matter, but that's okay. Nothing ain't the matter. First you have to say, ain't nothing the matter, nothing ain't the matter. Okay. She rocked in her rocking chair and said this. And the old geezer inside, who was getting ready to kick off, he was listening to this. And he's thinking, ain't nothing the matter, nothing ain't the matter. I guess I can go and have a bowl of soup. So he went out of his bedroom into the kitchen and fixed himself a cheese sandwich and some soup. And the family came home. Where's Papa? Where's Papa? I don't know. He didn't got this door. He's, you know, I've been sitting here rocking. And then they looked in the kitchen. There he was, eating, enjoying himself. Papa, you're out of bed. You shouldn't do this. What's wrong with you? I feel just fine. But you're dying. I decided not to. Another time. Another time. And this is true. This is true. These things do happen. And it's just as simple as that for this little old lady who really didn't know too much what to do, but she did know to sit on a rocking chair and say, ain't nothing the matter, nothing ain't the matter. And nothing was the matter. Because the old man picked up on her thinking and put that cause in motion and experienced a beautiful experience for himself. We have the power to change it. Do we have the wisdom to change it? And the wisdom to change it is not to make it worse, or not to make it something that is going to be even harder for us to get along with, but to have it be something that is absolutely right. Now, Ellen, what are the words to putting that sort of a power of change in motion?
All is in divine order.
Precisely. All is in divine order. You don't have to outguess your divine self as to what your divine self thinks is the best for you. You just have to get your bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits, like Emerson said. And as you did this, then the divine circuits can flow. They can flow. Sylvia is complaining, 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 complaining. I said, Sylvia, my printer's not working. She said, well, you got it in there so tight, and I can't check the plugs, and I can't do this because you got that, and you really should have it so I can work on it a little bit. And it complain, you know, just always complain. So I will just have to make all the wires loose so she can play spaghetti with them, you know. And then she will find what the problem was, and the problem probably is something else. You know? Maybe there's a fuse inside of the gadget. Who knows? Maybe there's an off and on switch on the outside of the printer. I looked all around it. I didn't see any. And I don't, yeah, just the one on top, yeah. And so, you see, if Sylvie just goes down there and she says, all is in divine order, and then she snaps her finger, and then she says, okay, Herb, it's all yours. Now, Sylvia?
Yes?
Are you man enough for that?
Yes.
You see, this is the fun of it. We put these things in practice. But the thing is, we have to be very careful. We don't laugh at it, because that really works. And if we laugh at it, we're sort of like saying, yeah, maybe not, you know, maybe. And yes. You say to a little child, what would you like? And the child says, I want a horse. Well, what kind of horse do you want? Oh, one with four legs and a tail, you know, a head. And what are you going to do with the horse? I ride on the horse. Well, you want a saddle for the horse too? Oh, I mean, that's what you sit on the top. Oh, it doesn't matter. I can ride him without, with a saddle or without. Do you want a bridle? It doesn't matter either, you know. And so what happens? He visualizes himself bareback without any bridle, without any saddle, riding on the horse. Can that happen?
Mm-hmm.
That's all the time. Circus kids love to do that. And they can even stand on those animals. Now, what is going to make that horse the perfect horse for that child? That child visualizes that horse as its own, as its toy, as its friend, as its companion, and perfectly harmonious. Could the horse ever do anything which would cause the child to hurt itself? No. Will the child get that horse one day?
Mm-hmm.
No. He will get it
now.
Oh, I'm so happy. He will get it now. You see, you and I have had we're 23 years old, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're 23 years old, we've learned you had to go through channels to get things, that you had to do this, but we forgot one channel. When we finally got to that channel, then something happened, and that channel's a three-letter word, what? Now. You see, we don't think of it now. We think, yes, it would be nice to have the horse. Yes, it would be nice to do this. Yes, it would be nice to do that. But now. And the little kid, what does he think? He sees himself riding it now and happy as can be. So, you see, we have the power to change all of these outward experiences that seem to limit us somewhat. And as we change them, we put a new cause in motion, not in defiance of anything, but the new cause in motion in harmony with all is in divine order. And you know, when you do that, you can't go wrong. You just can't go wrong. If you're distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your own estimate of it. And this you have the power to change. So, see your horse now, and see you riding on your horse bareback, standing there enjoying yourself and having a good time. I love you, I love you, I love you.